something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am Paris.
Hey everyone, I am so excited for today's interview. I love this woman so much. She is one of the funniest person I've ever met in my life. No one makes me laugh, smile, have the best time. She has the biggest heart. She's beautiful inside and out. She's just like a ledge and an icon. She's an actress. She's a comedian. She's a singer. She's a writer. She's an author. She's a philanthropist. She's an advocate. She's a boss and she's a queen. Tiffany Haddish.
Hey, she ready.
Welcome, sis.
What up, mama? It's so good to be here.
I'm so happy you're here.
And I love your dogs.
They love you. Yes. Oh my God. She looks so cute next to you. We have a little crypto. She's got her haircut. And
she's feeling fancy today. Mm-hmm. You feeling fancy?
She literally is like a different dog now. Her hair was like so puffy. It was like this giant ball. Uh-huh. And then I was like, I want her to be a teddy bear. And now she like walked in and was so proud with the hair. You could tell like, she knew.
Look at me. My dog's like that too. I have a little Maltese Yorkie mix. And when her hair is all grown out, I feel like she has a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. And then when I get her hair cut, she's like, what up? Hey, I'm cute today. Check me out. Look. And she prances, wags her booty. Like she normally just wags her tail. But when she get her hair cut, booty be moving and everything. Like, look at me. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're the same.
Me too. I'm the same way.
Dogs are like the owner, I feel like.
They are. Like, they pick up your personality traits.
I heard that every pet you have, like dogs especially, are supposed to be with you. Like it's something like in the cause, I don't know what you would call it, but like supposedly like spiritually, like they come for like a reason, like a specific person.
I feel like my last dog came just to pee all over my furniture. Just to make my house smell like a nursing home. I think that's what she came for. And then she ran out into the street. And got hit by a car. She got hit by a car. I'm hurt by that. But then I'm like, well, she wasn't the smartest dog. And I learned to love, even if you're not smart, I love you anyways.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any pets that you felt came to you for a better reason?
Yes. Sleeper. That's the one I've had her for 15 years now. And she's the sweetest, kindest. I think she came to me to protect me. Mm-hmm. And then Dreamer, that's my dog that passed away last year. She was with me for 14 years. And I believe she came to me to just let me know who has STDs.
What do you mean?
Yeah, she let me know who have STDs. She let me know what dudes to deal with and what dudes not to deal with.
What would she do?
She would like, okay, so if the dude came in the house, she would walk up to him immediately, greet them. She smiled. Like, she's a blue nose pit bull, so she got this big old smile. And then she instantly smelled their genitals. Smell the genital area, smell their butt. And then she would come over to me, and she would sit. And if she sat and just sat there and just like kind of smiled, it's all good. But if she sat there and she starts sneezing, I'm like, oh, he's sick.
What?
And I would say something. I would be like, when the last time you got a checkup? When's the last time you went to the doctor? And they would be like, what? And I'm like, look, if we gonna hook up, you definitely gotta go to the doctor. And they would go and they would be having like, they would have stuff.
Oh my God, like the, she knew?
She knew, she could smell it. She's an STD sniffing dog.
You still have her?
She died, she passed away. She had cancer and she passed away. For 14 years she lived. For a pit bull, that is a long life. That's good.
That's the worst.
I was hurt, girl. You should. I think I talked to you. I think I saw you like a month later and I was trying to be happy. But everywhere I was looking, I was like, I missed my dreamer. All my animals are named after something that deals with rest.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want. More rest.
I feel you.
Dreamer, sleeper, slumber. Yep. I got a cat from a job that I did. And that cat, her name is Cat Tonic. And we moved to a new house. And yeah, she decided to be for the streets. She no longer want to live with me. If she see me, she come by and visit me. But she don't want to live with me no more because she for the streets now. And I got another cat. And his name is a boy cat. It's my first male animal in a long time. And his name is Sleepy Black Man.
Sweet.
Because he all black. And he got out the house last night. I was walking around the neighborhood this morning. Come on. Sleepy Black Man. Sleepy Black Man. My neighbors were very confused. They were very confused. They was like, why is she walking around screaming Sleepy Black Man? And then some of them came out and asked me, why am I doing that? And I was like, I can't find my cat. And I showed them a picture. Now they are the whole neighborhood looking for Sleepy Black Man.
And?
So hopefully by the time I get home, Sleepy Black Man be found.
Oh, my God. Well...
But he probably a cat, so he probably just hanging down the tree watching me walk around calling for him, laughing at me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have a cat named Cutesy, and she gets out all the time, too. And it's up here, there's so many coyotes, so I get so scared.
Right. Now, there's no coyote. There are coyotes in the hood. Like, I live in South Central, and there are coyotes occasionally. They don't come down often, but when they do, then I know there's no food up in the mountains. And there's not even big mountains over there. You know, it's like Ladera Heights. It's not that high of a mountain, but we do occasionally get coyotes. That sounds like I'm looking for a boyfriend, don't it? But I'm
yeah.
not. But you got to speak into existence, whatever it is you want.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I have associates.
That's hot.
I can't even look you in the eye because I don't want to lie to you.
You do? Oh, I thought you were going to say like you were in love or something.
No, not yet. I want to be in love, but no, I date. I have friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's hard in this town.
It's very hard. It was hard before fame, and it's hard after.
It's harder, I feel like,
it's
after.
It's way harder after, because you can't have like a, you know, when before fame, I could have some, you know, hoe moments. I can't have no hoe moments now, because men love to gossip. Yeah. Back in the day, they would gossip, and nobody knew who they was talking about. Now they gossip. Yeah, they'd be like, man, you don't really know her, man. You ain't show me a picture of you and her together, and they don't have none. So.
Yes. I know. I'm so happy I finally found someone I could trust, because in this town, especially if you're in this business, everyone's like out to get something, or they want to use you, or they just want the clout, or they just want to, I don't know, just do so many fucked up things or sell stories about you.
Yeah.
It's just like... People are crazy. It's so annoying.
I just want to let men get that close. So this one guy I've been hanging out with, he's like, why every time I come over here, you always have me in the guest room? Why I can't go in your room? I want to go in your room. I was like, oh, no. You haven't earned main room privileges. He's like, so we just got to hook up in the guest room? I was like, yeah, you're a guest. You're not living here. You don't get main room privileges. You don't. When you pay a mortgage, then you can have some main room privilege. He was like, how much is the mortgage? I told him how much the mortgage was. He was like, yeah, I'm cool with being in the guest room. I'll be right here in the guest room. Do you need me to walk the dog for you? Do you need me to change the kitty litter? I can do something around here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever have guys who just like try to move in and they're just like.
Oh my gosh. I was hooking up with this barber once. So this is like pre-fame. So hooking up with this barber. He was so cute to me. And I would hang out at his barbershop or whatever. But I never, like, in his barbershop, I had an upstairs area. I never went up there. And he would come to my house and like make gumbo, and we like cook all these meals. They had like little get togethers and stuff. He would always take showers at my house. Like, as soon as he gets to my house, he'd jump in the shower, and I'd be like, dang, what's wrong with him? Like, what? I'm like, why you gotta always jump in the shower as soon as you get to my house? He's like, well, you know, it's hot outside, it's this. And I'm like, it's raining, it ain't hot outside. He's like, I just wanna just, I really like your water pressure. And I was just like, what? And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna spend the night at your house. I'm gonna spend the night at your house. And so then he's like, nah, we cool here. I was like, no, I wanna see where you sleep. Where do you sleep when you're not sleeping at my house? He took me to the barbershop. And I was like, wait, you live in the barbershop? He was like, yeah, upstairs. So we go upstairs and there's like a bed there. And I was like, well, where's your like shower? Where's your bathroom and all that? He was like, oh, I wash up in the shampoo bowl.
I was everything? Like,
wait, you wash everything in the shampoo bowl?
I'm gonna die.
So you take hot baths and then you come out of my place? What is it, 1925? You washing in a bowl? Well, at least you got a toilet. At least you got a toilet. And yeah, and then I slowly faded away. Because I didn't ghost him, but I definitely slowly disappeared. Like, and he'd be like, yeah, can I come over to the house? I'm going to spend the night. I'm like, oh, man, nah, I'm out of town. I'm out of town. I was definitely in town. I just go over to my auntie's house. You know, I'm out of town. I'm out of town. And just go over to my family member's house. Like, mm-mm. I can't have no grown man. He was like, he said he owned the barbershop, but then turns out he didn't own the barbershop. He was renting the shop.
Oh, I thought he was.
He didn't even have a license to be a barber. Find out, like, yeah, I found out. I had went ahead and did some private investigation stuff because I had learned that from a previous relationship, how to do background checks.
Are you a detective?
I am.
Me too.
I am. Mm-hmm. You know, see, like that? Yeah, me
too. Oh, my God. Not anymore because I don't have to worry. But yeah. Before, I was, like, psychotic about things. Like, mm-hmm. I would needed to be in the phone. I needed to do this. And then I realized, like, before Carter, I'm like, if I'm going to be around someone like that and think like that, I don't even want that in my life.
Right.
So I still, like, I don't know. And with Carter, he's just so trustworthy. He would never do it. But with other people, like, I'm so happy I did it because I saved so much time I would have wasted.
Time. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, my goodness. You saved your heart.
Yes.
You saved your heart so you can really love.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, my goodness, I feel like I'd be giving too much of my heart. But with this new background check thing I do, mm-hmm. For the last few years, it's been working out pretty good. You know, I ask a guy, hey, you ever been to jail? They're like, no, I ain't never been to jail. I'm a good guy. Oh, okay. Well, what happened in 2003? You tell me your first and last name, and you tell me when your birthday was. Also, you lied about what year you was born. But that's okay. I found out. I talked to your mama. You talked to my mama? Oh, yeah. I got her number. She's one of your associates, people that might know you. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, I did the whole background.
Mm. How do you do it?
I found some ways online.
Mm-hmm. Yourself?
I don't want to promote them because they're not paying me. Okay. The different websites, you know, it costs me $33 a month. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should give me $33 a month if I'm gonna talk about it. I really think it should be $30,000 a month. But it is what it is. I'm not gonna advertise them. But you know, there's ways online to find out what you need to find out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Public record, it helps. You can see their name on birth certificates and all that.
Loves it.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Do you have any other like crazy spy stories?
I mean, I have some crazy spy stories. I have to think about it. I got to dig into my mind frame.
What's one of your favorites?
One of my favorites? One of my favorites is, it wasn't somebody I was spying on in particular, not for me, but for my homegirl. Mm-hmm. She was dating this guy and she really liked him. He was the ticket man and she really wanted to be with him. But I told her, like, girl, you just... something that dude, like, he's not trying to be in no, he's not trying to be serious. And yeah. She didn't believe me. And then she's like, let's follow him. He's supposed to be over here bowling. Let's go over there. So this is when I had my little raggedy Geo Metro and it sounded like a lawnmower and we was trying to follow him. And so we following him, but my car was slow. His car was fast. And my car sounded like a lawnmower. She's like, don't get too close to him because we don't need him knowing that it's you. He has everybody know you drive this raggedy car. So it's like... following like four or five cars behind, finally catch up to him. He's at a bowling alley. We pull into the thing. I was like, should we go into the bowling alley? She's like, no. And she's like, no, let's just duck down. So we ducking down. We staring out the side window, watching him. He hugging these girls. She was like, we should get out. Should I get out the car? I was like, yeah, get out the car. Get out the car. She's like, no. We're going to follow him to the next location. So we try to follow him to the next location. But they was going uphill and my car didn't make it up there. Yeah. And Mission was dead at that point. But at that point, you know, we had already seen him with another girl. So it's like, hey, I told you, he not into you. So that was a crazy situation right there.
Mm-hmm. I love spying.
You know what else? Okay, so I used to hang out with this one girl that was super into, like, the universe and, you know, the stones and all that stuff.
Stones.
And the stones, like the rose quartz and the amethyst.
Crystals.
The crystal. And she was like, Tiffany, you know you can astral project. You can astral project into people's dreams. You can follow them. Your soul can see them. Like, you can astral project. And she taught me how to do it. And I did it. And I think I even talked about this. I know I talked about it on stage, but I did it. And I was married at the time, and I saw all this stuff. And I thought, like, man, my imagination is really off the chain. This couldn't be real.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got home, I asked my husband a few questions at that time. And he said, yeah, all that happened. And I was like, oh, I got superpowers.
In your dream, you went into his dream or into his past?
I wasn't dreaming. I went into where he was.
At this point?
Like, during the day. So I was on the other side of the country doing some comedy shows. My friend had told me about this technique. And to put a video up off of YouTube, and then you listen to the video, and you, like, lay down on the couch or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of, like, meditate of where you want to be. And then you go. And I felt like, I could feel my body, like, go somewhere. I don't know if I went to sleep and just dreamed it or if I went there, but I saw him at some places and I saw him with some peoples, particularly a female. And then I asked him about it and he said, yeah, all that happened.
Oh my God, that's so
crazy. And I was like, am I psychic? He asked me if I knew the girl, if the girl told me about it, but I didn't know her.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah,
too.
You gotta get. I was like, ooh, we gotta get some soul lock on there. Get your soul lock, cause my soul tracked his soul.
That's like really cool. I feel like I've done that in people's dreams.
Yeah.
And then we'll like meet somewhere that seems so fun and so cool. It's so weird. Like it happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, I
and
know.
I feel like I'm there.
Yeah, like you're right there with them.
It's so strange.
Like when I go to sleep at night, I'll dream about somebody and be like, yo, and we'll have like this whole experience. And then I'll call them and be like, yo, I had a dream about you last night. They're like, hey, yeah. I had a dream about you last night. I'm like, wait, were we at the dinner? And they're like, yeah, I was at the dinner. I'm like, yo, I was in your dream. You was in my dream. We must have met in the fifth dimension.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. Or we both smoke too much weed. One or the other. I don't know.
I'm going to Google that after this because I want to learn how to do the thing that you said. And I think I'm already doing it. And I want to see if that's actually real.
Yeah. They say kids do it all the time. And it's easier when you're younger because you don't like dismiss.
Yeah. You're not so jaded.
On. Yeah. But yeah, I'll send you the video and everything.
Yeah. Send me the right one.
I will send you because I still be using it. I think I'll be seeing things.
Let's meet somewhere in a dream. Places.
Let's meet tonight. Let's meet in the Maldives tonight.
Yes. Okay. I'm doing
it. I'm with it.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm wearing a pink bathing suit.
Okay, I'm wearing a neon pink like hat and like flamingo shoes.
Okay. I'll see you. Please have on some clothes too. I don't want to see you naked. I don't want to see you naked.
No, just the hat and the shoes.
All right. Cool. It's a dream.
Yes. Oh yeah, in case anyone's wondering why we're not talking about all the amazing projects and sick things that she's doing, and it's because we're in the midst of the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes.
Well, it's not that we're not allowed. It's that it's frowned upon because we want to make it clear. Okay? Yeah. We're making it clear that you need us in order to do what you do, studios, in order to create the things that you create, studios. You need the actors and you need the writers. You need the person that's going to be able to tell the story, to write the story down, and you need the person that's going to be able to show the story, right? You got your directors, but who your director's going to direct if you ain't got no actors? And what are they directing if you don't got no writers? You know? Reruns? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that everybody's coming together and supporting this because without everyone, like, we're not going to have all of our favorite shows and movies and everything.
And some people like to say, like, one of my friends is like, what y'all tripping off of? Y'all, you actors, y'all making all this money, y'all popping. Why are you even doing this? Like, y'all make more money than the average person. Why are you doing this? It's like, first of all, the average actor is making less than minimum wage. I was that average actor for a long, long time. I remember one of my first gigs, it still shows on TV and now it's streaming. And I got a check about 5 months ago for 1 cent. It cost them more money to print that check up, put it in an envelope and mail it to me. And it cost me more money to drive to the bank and try to cash it. 4 years ago, I got a check from another project I did. It was for like 2 or 3 cents. And I thought it would be funny to walk into the bank and cash it. Do you know that they told me that check bounced? They didn't have a 3 cent in their account. What do you mean they ain't got the 3 cents? Oh, yeah, the account don't even work. So they sent me a check for 3 cents to something that don't even exist no more.
That's insane.
Do you know how much the gas was to get to that thing? This is before I had an electric vehicle. Lord.
That's insane.
It's sad. It's sad. And it cost them so much money to send that to me. And they shouldn't have even sent it to me. But I still got the check. I should post it. I should post all these little bitty checks. I kept them all because to me, it was like a sign of respect. Like, and I just feel like if you're making money off of my talent, right? And as long as you're making money off my talent, I should be making money off my talent too.
Yeah.
And you know that. That's how you get down. Like, you're not finna just be using me and using me and using me and don't bring nothing to the table. You can't use me up. Mm-hmm. Like, I gotta eat too. If you eating, I should eat. If your family having a nice house, I should have a base, something nice, something. So, and there's so many actors that do small parts, day player parts, you know, and they sign that contract and they work that one day and they get paid this amount of money for that day. But every time that it comes on air, there's supposed to be some compensation. And once it starts going to streaming, they can't try, they could, but they say they can't, but they can. Because how are you going to tell me this is the number one movie on this streaming service, or this is the number one TV show, or this is the thing everybody's watching? How are you able to tell me that? But you can't tell me how many views there are.
Yeah.
You can tell me how many views there are, and you can compensate me accordingly. Even if it is 2 cents.
It's so insane.
Yeah, and I don't know why they don't direct deposit. Don't get me started on that. But that's just a small bit of the major issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that you speak about it.
If it's streaming on a network, you're probably getting something. If it's streaming on a streaming service, you should be compensated for that. Mm-hmm. That was time of your life. That was an experience you had. They was using your face, your image. And if they're advertising anything, if they're getting subscribers and all that, you should be compensated for that. And I don't care how much money you already got. You should be compensated. They're using your image.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look into that.
Somebody in logistics, get to it. Business affairs, hop on it.
Please.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you were born and raised in LA.
Mm-hmm.
You were born and raised in LA in South Central. What are your earliest memories of being there?
My earliest fondest memories is the playground across the street from my mama's house. That was a school, and watching the other kids play and wanting to go play with them and trying to cross the street and realizing that cars are dangerous and you can't just walk across streets. Playing in a wading pool in the front yard, playing with my neighbors. I used to love hanging out in an avocado tree. We had an avocado tree in the backyard. So I used to hang out in the avocado tree and eat avocados. Or and I would walk down to my grandma's house and she had a plum tree. And we would just hang out in the plum tree and eat plums all day. I'm going to tell you right now, I was the I had the best moving bowels in all of South Central. Because if you eat plums all day in the tree, guess what you're going to be at all night? You're going to be on the toilet all night. That's where you're going to be. Yes, my stomach was flat, flat.
That's hot.
I had to fly the abs. I had abs as a little girl. Why? Because I ate plums all day in the tree. I didn't even eat regular food. I just wanted to eat the plums and the avocados. And yeah, I had a very flat stomach.
Loves that.
I think that's going to be my new workout plan. As soon as my plum tree get big enough to hold me, I'm going to climb up in it and just eat the plums out the tree all summer.
I love plums. I haven't had one since I was little, but now I want one.
Oh my goodness. You talked about it. Okay, so my next harvest, which won't be till
harvest.
Next. Yeah, yeah, I got plum trees.
You have them still.
So I got my own plum trees because when I pass, I want to be cremated and I want my ashes to be buried at the plum tree. And everybody who ever loved me, I want them to eat a fruit from that tree a year later. Because the plums always come out in the summer and the summertime is the best time. So, yeah.
Nice.
And I want to be inside of them for 24 hours and then pass out of them and see what it do in the ocean. It won't be me. It'll be my vitamins, nutrients, and stuff. It'll mostly be nitrogen because that's I think it's nitrogen. Yeah, when you, it's nitrogen when you, the ashes. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Plant stuff. I'm heavy
I'm
in
I'm learning so much from you.
I'm heavy into plants and stuff.
I want to do that here, like build a little.
Like a like garden?
Yeah. I have like this sick area that has like those things that are like made for gardens, but I just don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, I can show you.
Okay, perfect.
I'll come out. I'll bring some of my seeds.
That'd be fun.
I'll even bring some of my seedlings and show you how to do it. And like, you don't have to put a whole lot of time. You could have your sprinkler system set up. And I know how to do that too. I know how to set up a whole sprinkling system. And they water themselves. And you just come out like 2-3 times a week. If there's weeds, pull the weeds. Talk to the plants. I love talking to the plants. It makes it so good. I got to bring you some honey.
Yes,
I got bees,
I love honey. You have bees?
I got bees, girl. I have bees in the trap with the honey. Mm-hmm.
What? You're like the simple life vibes.
Yeah, but it's complicated life, but it's simple. It's simply complicated. That's what it is. It's simply complicated.
That's so fun.
I got to show you the bees. You got to come. I'm going to bring you to the hood.
Yes.
We'll bring security for you, but I don't think you're going to need it.
No.
Nah. I got the whole block on lock.
I love it. Yes. Okay, so when you were only 9 years old, your mom got in a car crash, which changed everything for your whole family. Can you tell our listeners what happened?
So basically, we moved. So my mom got married to this man, and she had kids by him. And he moved us from L.A. to Pomona, and then from Pomona to Colton, which is like far. And my mom worked the graveyard shift at the U.S. Post Office in Marina Del Rey. So she would leave. We would have to leave the house. Like once we got out of school, do our homework and stuff. And then she'd be like, okay, everybody get in the car. And we would drive all the way to L.A. And she would drop me off, and me and my brothers and sisters off at my grandma's house. And then she would continue on to work at the post office. And she would work all night and then pick us up in the morning, like 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. Then we drive all the way back to Colton and I would go to school. And that was like the routine. And one particular day, I was just like, mama, let me babysit. Like, let me just babysit. I know how to make hot dogs. I know how to make, you know, I know how to cook all the stuff. I know how to make baby's bottles. Like, my little sister, she was not even one. She was like 9 months. And my little, I had a little sister, little brother at that time. And she was like, oh, okay, I'm running late. So she left. And then she said, if I call the house, before she left, she said, if I call the house, the phone's going to ring twice, and then I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to call back, and that's me. Answer the phone. Otherwise, do not answer the phone. 3 days go by, no call, no nothing. He didn't come home. Nobody's coming home. So then—
And you're alone with everyone.
And I'm alone with my, at that point in time, 2 sisters and 1 brother at that point. And I call my grandma and ask her if she's seen my mom. And she goes, no, she never came over. I'm like, well, she hasn't come home in 3 days. She's like, well, you guys are by yourself. I'm like, yeah, we by ourselves. Then I was like, we're low on food. We're running out of food. There's barely any more hot dogs. We got rice, though. I'm making rice. I'm making, like, you know, the top ramen and stuff. So I felt very proud of myself because I could cook, which I had been doing for a long time. But I'm not, like, you know, gourmet meals.
Yeah.
whatever stuff. But and my grandma called around, and then nobody knew where my mom was. She didn't show up to work. And then she called my stepdad's family member, and they said she's at the hospital. What hospital she was at, and that she had a car accident. She's like, why didn't nobody tell me? Then my grandma says, look, your mom's in the hospital. I'm gonna go check on her, and then I'm gonna come check on y'all. The next thing I know, my stepdad's there, and he's like, comes in, gets like paperwork and stuff, and he's out. He's like, I'll be back, and he's out. Oh, and he did bring some In-N-Out Burger though. And I still to this day love In-N-Out Burger. Anyways. And if In-N-Out Burger wants to pay me to talk about how much I love them. No, anyways, so you love it too, right?
Love it.
Double animal style, so extra pickle protein style. Anyways. So cut to her head went through a windshield. She had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything all over again. And I remember the day that she came out of the hospital, the doctor was like, you know, you're going to have to be a big girl. Yeah, everything, you're going to have to help your mom a lot. You're going to have to be a big girl and help your mama. Are you okay with that? I was like, yeah, I'm definitely okay with that. I love my mommy. Like, anything my mommy taught me, I'm going to teach my mommy. Like, you know, and I did everything. Anything that I could do, I did it. And I tried my best to, like, take care of my sisters and brothers, to take care of her. It was not easy. It's very hard. I could not read, really. I knew what, like, the way my brain works is, like, I knew what the word looked like. I knew what words looked like, and I would assume that's what it is. I know what McDonald's looked like. I know what Burger King looked like. Like, things that were marketed to me and shown to me constantly, I knew those words. I know my name. I know what that looks like. I know, like, with certain things. And so it was really difficult because we ended up getting food stamps. We ended up, like, on welfare and all this stuff. And I knew how to count money, though. I knew how to count. You can't do it. And I still know how to count. Today. I don't know. I might can't read that good, but I can count like it ain't nobody's business. And so I would get the groceries. And I remember being like, always being my mama's cheerleader and telling her, you can do it, mama. You could drive. You could do this. You could do that. Like, and when we had to leave from Colton, we were getting evicted because couldn't pay the rent no more. We survived. And, you know, by the time I was 12, I guess I wasn't the best mom. I wasn't the best at it, right? And my mom, by then, she tried to get back with my stepdad and ended up getting pregnant with my baby brother and gave birth to him. And her mental health was not good. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but if your head go through a windshield, you're not going to be the same always. And she wasn't. And I used to think that a demon had got inside her body and, like, took over my mama's body because she got so violent and so mean. And I was just always trying to figure out ways to make her laugh, like in order not to get hit. Because she used to be really good with her words. But once you have an accident like that, it's very hard to communicate. And she would get frustrated and like punch me and hit me and all this stuff. And I was okay with it because I loved her. Like, she is my mommy. Like, yeah. The first person I ever loved. I don't know if I loved her as much as I love my grandma, but she was my first love, right? She's my everything. And you say, like, earliest memories, sometimes I can remember, like, when I think about her, I remember, like, being, like, she would be breastfeeding me. I think that's the gayest I ever been. And she would be, I try to feel better. But, like, I can remember her feeding me and me looking up at her and, like, just holding her cheek or, like, playing in her hair and her smiling at me and staring at me and me staring back at her. Like, us falling in love with each other.
You remember
like,
that?
I can remember that. When I think about her, like, I'm thinking about her now, like, my little heart opens up and I can remember just loving her. So she was my love. And then, like, then my grandma, I remember my grandma always smiling. My grandma smiles like the best smile in the world. When me and my mom would get into it, my grandma would be like, you leave her alone. Grandma was like, my hero, come rescue me. And her smile is the best smile. And she would hold me and hum. Like, I miss my grandma so much. That was my, like, that's my best friend. She's basically my first best friend. And I think
too. Sometimes
I love her more than I love my mama, you know?
Yeah.
How about you?
I love my mom so much, but my grandmother passed away when she was 63, and we were so close. Like, I lived with her for a year when I was sent away. My parents sent me to Palm Springs for ninth grade, and I lived with her, and she was just like a force of nature. She was just so inspiring to me, and like I learned so much of everything, and I felt like she was like my second mom.
Right. Yeah, I was wishing. I used to be asking my grandma, why you gotta be my grandma? Why you can't be my real mama? Like, you don't hit me like she hit me. You love me. Like, and she's like, your mama love you too. This is how she's keeping you strong. Did you get spankings?
From my parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or from anybody that was an authority over you? Did you get spankings and whippings? It's okay now. It's past statute of limitation.
All my parents. Mm-hmm. At Provo Canyon School and all those schools that I got sent to, yes.
Yeah.
They would like spank you, strangle you, hit you, sexually abuse. Like, those people are sick.
Yeah. That's like being in the system. No, that's being, you were in a system.
It was.
You were in a system. That's like being in foster care.
70% of the kids were either foster care or in the system or from just the mental health wards, children with disabilities, just everything.
A lot. When I read your book, I was like, boo to the hooing. Because, I mean, we've had conversations and we don't get too deep into it, but I get it and I connect with you immediately because I know because I stayed in group homes and stuff, because by the time I was 12, that was it. Foster care, moving around from house to house, strangers, group situations, trying to figure out how to fit in, how do I maneuver in this world? Like, that's why, like, Hollywood is easy.
Yeah.
This is
so prepared nothing. For
people like, oh, it's dangerous. I'm like, you have no idea what danger is.
Literally.
This is nothing.
You're supposed to be somewhere where you're being protected and these people are taking advantage of their power and doing the most terrible things to a child.
I'm like, do they do mental exams? I know you got to take like mental tests to be in the FBI, right? Yeah. You got to have a certain mental capacity and stuff to be in the FBI. I think, okay, that's cute, FBI and all that. But you should have some, there should be severe mental examinations and tests going and challenges and all kind of stuff that are constantly happening every year for these teachers, for these administrators, for these social workers, the freaking people that run the group homes, these organizations that's supposed to be protecting you and teaching you and mentoring. Like, there should be some severe background situation checks on them, because that's where the damage is happening.
Yeah, yeah,
that's where I really feel like
it's so true.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's the motherfucker in the suit I'm looking at that I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably gonna do something.
Yep.
The person that's supposed to be the superhero, I got your back. That's probably the person that's gonna be the one that do something really bad,
as opposed to the least suspect,
as opposed to the one that's wearing the flashy colors and the weird, and they got weird stuff on and their booty cheeks hanging out.
They don't do background checks. Like, it really attracts like pedophiles and sick people who want to have that
super
power.
Super sick. Yeah, it's the one in the suit. Watch the one in the suit.
Mm-hmm. And of course they'll be like, oh, these kids are trouble, they're this, like they're lying, and it's like the perfect storm for someone because they're going to get away with it.
Oh my god, I remember this one lady. She wanted to keep this kid on drugs, on the medication. The kid didn't need the medication. Kid's like, I'm not depressed. I'm not this. I'm not all these things you keep telling them. That's not who I am. We were teenagers, and it was because they get more money if you are on medication. The foster parents or whatever. That lady was a coordinator. We were in this group. They get more money if you're on meds. If they have to administer medication to you, they make more money.
Yep.
So they want to keep you on the drugs. It's like, I don't need these drugs. I just need somebody to help me with my homework.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Somebody help me with my homework. That's what they kept on saying it. And this lady kept on trying to shove drugs down them. They even said they want to give me some drugs. But I told the social worker, I'm allergic to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. If I have a mental problem, I'd rather just sit and talk to somebody and talk to somebody and talk to somebody. I'm allergic to drugs. Now, here I am 30 years later, you know. I ain't on drugs. With drugs, I'm like, I smoke weed. And I do drink alcohol. That's my drug of choice. But when I turn 70, I'm doing drugs, girl. I'm doing all the shit. When I turn 70, that's the future conversation. I'm going to be high them up. At 70, that's when it makes sense to be high as fuck. I mean, my knees going to be bad, my elbows. I ain't going to like what I see in the mirror that much. So I'm going to get high. I'm going to be high as hell in my estate, walking around butt naked. I'm like, Tiffany Haddish out in the street, butt naked. Ah, yeah, she old. She an old lady. She old. Don't pay her no attention. That's that old people stuff. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm getting f***ed up at 70.
All right. This has been like the most fun time I've ever had on this podcast. I've never laughed so hard. I love hanging out with you.
I love hanging out with you too.
So we've been friends for so many years now. Do you remember the first time that we met?
I remember the first time I ever met you. This was back in early 2000s. And I was trying to get into your section, but I couldn't get into the section. But you were super sweet. I had started a big old dance circle. We was at, I want to say Coconut Teasers. Remember Coconut Teasers? I want to say it's Coconut Teasers. And I had started a big old dance circle, and I was dancing in the middle of the circle, and you had came over. You was like, yeah, girl, yeah. And I was like, yeah, yeah. We was dancing. And then I would see you here and there at different events and stuff, but I never bothered you. And then Harper's Bazaar party, I was there. You were there. I think I was wearing white. I think you were wearing like an off-white or something like that. Or maybe it was, you was wearing a cute dress. I just remember it was a cute-ass dress.
Honey, I'm always in a cute dress.
Facts. Facts. Facts, you are always in a cute dress. And we were having a good time. And you were like, I love you. I love, and you make me laugh so hard. And I feel like that was the first time we really connected. And I was like, I love you. You are so smart. I wanted to fangirl out and be like, I got all your perfume. I got all your makeup. I got all your stuff. But I didn't want to like be too much of a groupie.
I would have loved that.
I was shy
to talk to you. I was like, oh my God, like, I love her. She's so amazing.
And I didn't want to be like a fangirl. And I would have, and now I know that you would have loved that, but I didn't want to be the annoying like fan. And I wanted to be like your best friend, but I was like, I'm gonna be chill. I'm not gonna be like aggressive with her. But I was like, and I know I had said something to the effect, you was like, oh, I like your shoes. You wearing tennis shoes? I like it. It goes with the dress and everything. I was like, yeah, Greg, I put these tennis shoes on. My feet hurt. I can't be having my feet all messed up out here. And he was like, that is so smart. That's so smart. And I was like, no, you're so smart. And then we were like laughing, and my stylist had came up, and you started talking to him. And then we were walking away, and I was just like, we gonna be friends. And he was like, yeah, girl. And I was like, oh, she think I'm playing. Yes. And we've been friends.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I love you.
I love you.
I love you very, very much.
Me too. I could literally sit and talk with you all day and night because you are just literally the most entertaining, sweetest, kindest. I had no idea about so many things you just told me. I'm like in awe of you. You're so strong. You're so incredible. You're such a beautiful person, and you have such a big heart. And like, I love you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you for inviting me. And I can't wait to get in your cryotherapy chamber.
Yes. We have to do that after this. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed. Well, I know you did. And we will see you for the next episode, which will be about the present. Living.
Thanks for listening to I Am Paris. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at I Am Paris Podcast. Email us at paris@iheartradio.com. Be hot and subscribe now. Loves it.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest
to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.